I, Vegeta, the prince of all Saiyans, hereby command that you do not listen or subscribe to the Dragon Ball 4 Life podcast. Whatever you do, would you defy royalty? No! Bye!
And now we end the story of the Dragon Balls, with the hope that the Earth will never again see the kind of darkness that brought it close to extinction so many times. But if that day comes, there is one who will step out of the shadows and fight in the name of all that is good and true.
Till we meet again, guys!
First few decades of his career, serving as both a collection of his early works and a history of his life as a manga writer and illustrator, this giant tome is packed with everything you could ever want as a fan of classic shonen manga. And I'm like, I feel like something like this now,
yeah, that shit retail value about to go crazy.
Yeah,
that shit prices like,
it already wasn't like cheap initially, but like I feel like now, like, because I mean, like, yeah, these are like his early career, like prior to like even like during Dragon Ball or like right before it. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm glad I got this.
That's super cool. That's a real cool thing to know.
Like, you know Trav got the insider. That's who got it for him for Christmas. Yeah. Trav's manga insider, right? Got him that gift.
That's not what you know.
Whenever I visit Tokyo, I'm just gonna hop off the plane and just get gifts.
Hell yeah. Every time. I'll be like, oh, you want the Black Frieza arc? We got you, Trav. That's been done.
I come back to the podcast and like share an exclusive clip. Tell everybody that's listening, they have 2 hours to watch before Toei takes it off.
Pulls it down, yeah. you got episode one of the Maro arc animated on a disc.
Dumped and everything.
I know what Oob's like God form's gonna be.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Look. There you go. Well, I hit record a long time ago, and I'm glad that we were able to capture these laughs, because you know, it's been a rough week, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a rough week, and you know, I feel like as a collective, the three of us have all chose to, as opposed to mourn, which we did. We mourned hard, guys. We mourned hard. You know,
still am.
Tears were shed. Tears were shed. Yeah. But publicly, I feel like we all, without having said it, kind of felt like it was we had a responsibility to, you know, keep the laughs going, you know, for all the DB fans and all the Toriyama fans out there in the world. And in true form, we're going to do that here today, because this isn't a memorial episode. This is a celebration episode. Mm-hmm. Of the OG, the man himself, the late great Akira Toriyama. Just putting the late in front of it is still a little weird, because like crazy. A lot like Stan Lee, I just kind of felt like he was immortal, you know. And yeah, even though Stan Lee was well into his 90s, I believe, when he passed, it just was kind of like, I just figured we was gonna get Stan Lee cameos, like Avengers 27 gonna be a Stan Lee cameo.
Right,
like, at some point in time. But like I said, I just want to celebrate his life, and I'm who better to do it with than my two favorite people to cover this nerd shit with. Together we are the trio of danger. And where were you guys at when you got the news? I believe actually it was Bex broke it for me. You know, she gave me that pain.
I'm so sorry, you guys. You were the first people I shared it with, because I saw it. I was just, I think I got a Twitter notification, like a pop-up one, and I never get those. And it was from Todd Blankenship, and I must follow him because do you know what? I must have followed him so long ago, because I don't even, do you know what I mean? Like in my head, I'm like, I'm not 100% sure who I'm seeing these notifications from here, but it's always Dragon Ball stuff. And it come up with that, and it was on you know, the lock screen. And so I opened it, and I was like, this person's very credible. I don't think this is a joke.
Mm.
And so I read it, and then obviously it said that he had passed a few days ago. And you guys were just, I didn't even talk to anyone. I just copied the link and shared it in with y'all, because I was like, this was posted 4 minutes ago, so it must be super, super, super new. And then after that,
pun intended.
I mean, even with our time differences, you guys were just right there.
Yeah, like, what? Man. Like, yeah, what?
No, no, say it isn't so.
One of my old coworkers sent the tweet to me, and like he knows I'm a Dragon Ball fan, but like we don't like talk it in depth like that. He obviously got into it, you know, when he was younger, and as I kind of like loosely followed it. But you know, he sent me a tweet, and it came from an account that, you know, I didn't know, and I was just like, nah, let me. And then like I immediately go to Geekdom's page, and yeah, he's like, this is not a hoax, like this is for real, and I'm like, Nah. Like it's like, you know, it's crazy because I thought that the Kobe death hit me hard, but
yeah, that was a tough
this one.
One
hits a lot harder. This one hit a lot harder. Like Matt and I had touched on it like real quick before we concluded, before we got off the Riverside call last time, but like we were saying, like, you know, Toriyama creating Dragon Ball, exposing us to Dragon Ball Z, forced us to branch out of our comfort zones because, mm-hmm. you know, growing up as a young black kid who was into sports, who was, you know, always playing with the kids at like kickball and basketball and everything, that a lot of people that either didn't share the nerddom with me, or if they did, it wasn't cool to talk about. But Matt and I, and it's probably why we're kindred spirits and are now here today, is
you already know that
we didn't care what people thought, because I'm like, no, I'm gonna still bust your ass in the game of 21, and then I'm gonna go talk to my homies about the Frieza saga. And it was one of those things where, you know, it unlocked, I think, for me, my creative side, because I feel like after I started watching Dragon Ball Z, I started drawing fan fiction on my own. I started to look into more anime. I started to branch out and talk to people that were into anime. And I just felt like I unleashed the inner nerd in me. My mom would tell me that when I was a kid, I would go upstairs to her room. Like, let's say she said 30 minutes before dinner. I had like my own fan anime in my head where I would go upstairs into my parents' room, lock the door, no TV, nothing, and like just act out like episodes in my head. Like yeah, I picture it to this day. Like I had a like a saga where there was Goten's son was Super Saiyan 4 at age like Gohan when he was going against Cell, and I'm like acting it out against like a descendant from Frieza. And I just remember my mom said she would hear me, like she would hear the bangs on the floor because I'd be jumping off the bed. She'd hear the screams because I'm charging up. But it's stuff like that where that's not possible without Toriyama, you know. That's none of that would have happened, and it wasn't until him where I was really like, oh, this is cool as shit, and I'm gonna let the world know that this is cool as shit, and I don't care what anyone else thinks. So I mean, I could go on and on, but I just think the impact he's had at when I was a youngin, and you know, that's which is why it's hitting me so hard today, because he was a key component of my childhood.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Bex, I'm glad that you're here, because obviously me and Trav, being both in the United States, like we know what Dragon Ball was like here, and like what it meant, you know, for the city and stuff like whatnot, what have you. How was it where you were at? Like, was it kind of like the same ground? So like some people liked it, some people didn't. Everybody liked it, nobody mm-hmm. liked it.
Yeah, I think it was because I started watching it when I was a young and a teenager, as you know, the rest of us did here. And I feel like it was pretty niche at that point in time, but at the same time, kind of everyone knew what it was. Like, I know my mum certainly knew what it was, as she still does now. But mm-hmm. I think it was pretty niche. I think it was, and even still, I'm going to say recently, up until recently, I still noticed that there was a clear divide between people who are into that kind of stuff and people who aren't. And people who aren't saying that shit is for kids and things like mm-hmm. that. And I'm very much like you, Trav. Like, I don't care, you know, I'll just continue to do it, get all the tattoos, wear all the t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Like, this is part of my honest personality. Like, that's it. But yeah, I digress a little bit to answer your question. It is still quite, back then and even still now, is quite niche. And when you find people who are into it over here, it is fucking rare. It is super rare. And then you want to be friends with those people. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just in the nail salon, and there was a girl next to me, and I knew she was looking at my Goku tattoo on my forearm. And I was like, if she says something, I'm going to try and be her friend.
Yeah, there you go.
She doesn't say anything. Yeah.
She's probably still a closeted fan.
That's what she's at home. Trying. She's at home right now, like, damn, I should have said something. Ah,
right, right. She home hitting her chat like, oh, I saw the coolest tattoo in the nail salon. Oh, what was it? And then she just doesn't respond after that.
how sick would that be if, like, not knowing who you were, she, like, watches this podcast? Like, oh, shit, that's the girl from the fucking nail salon.
If you're listening, DM me, girl. Right. I want to be a friend.
Doesn't remember say I got a phone-in thing. We'll phone her
in. I know, right? We'll call you in.
Call me up.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. But back to pick up on something that you just said about anime in general being like niche, because it is, well, not anymore. It's the cool thing now. Y'all were late, but it's cool. We accept y'all. We accept y'all.
Yeah, we're not going to be the hipsters that the band gets big. Like, oh, they were better when they were back then.
Like, I hate Imagine Dragons now because everyone likes it. Like, okay, Kyle, I hear you.
Like, go drink your IPA. It's okay.
Your Pilsner. All right, Kyle. Yeah. But Trav, and I know you can relate to this, like, it was something special about DBZ that's just like, even if you had like the jock or the bunny quote cool kid bunny quote that was just like, oh yeah, Pokemon, oh, that stuff's for kids, like, oh, Yu-Gi-Oh, that stuff's for kids, oh no, Dragon Ball Z, that's my shit. like no, Dragon Ball Z, that's different, like, that don't count, like it had a pass,
right?
Like, and that just like speaks to, you know, like, Dragon Ball's for everybody, man. Like, right. It literally doesn't alienate one audience. Like, it's something for, you can find something out of this.
I think it's because there just were no frills, right? It was, yo, we just gonna get a fair one.
We just gonna fight.
Yeah, like, you just gonna pull up
and we gonna look cool as shit while doing it. You know?
Hell yeah. Like, you have been beat up by a grown man wearing orange?
You've been beat up by an 11-year-old kid?
Right.
And this is no bias or no, just because he's now passed and we're highlighting his work, but I'm sorry, but Super Saiyan is the fucking coolest transformation in all of like nerd culture to me, just from a cultural impact to how it's just transcended to this time. I mean, how many rappers, you know what I'm saying, I'm going Super Saiyan, you know, how many rappers do we know that have like a Super Saiyan bar in there to this day? And how many shows, like how many games do we see just inspirations for? I mean, shit, we got Super Sonic. I mean, damn, like, it's,
yeah,
the impact that Toriyama has had, and you just see it, like, after he passed away, there were so many people that were coming out of the woodwork that have spoke about it or just said RIP. I mean, 6 ABC News covered it.
Yeah,
when,
that's nice.
When would you ever see it hit that sort of, I mean, that just shows you the level of respect and just what a legend Toriyama is. And yeah. It's, you know, in a past universe, as Matt and I, we were talking about just how we've embraced who we are or whatever. I'll never forget. In a past life of mine, you know, I remember a girl saw my Dragon Ball Z poster in my room. She said, oh, why would you have that in there? You really think, you know, girls are going to like that? And fast forward to where I'm at now, and
yes, you know,
I'm watching anime with my fiance. So,
with his,
you know,
fiance.
and my words were to that person. I said, well, if they don't like it, then they're not for me. So
facts.
You can go take a long walk down that snake road. That's what you can do, ma'am.
You can kick rocks down snake way.
That's
down
what
a hipple.
That's what you can do. Head on down to the HFIL.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. I'm not here to play these cell games with you.
Walter just had this absolutely confused look on his face. The fuck right, are you talking? You're talking in literal hieroglyphics.
I'm gonna be at the altar this summer, but what we got, our love, is otherworldly, okay?
That's so cool.
It's transcendent, man. Like, just like, I'm not really big on Twitter, never calling it X, but like, I've seen like all the people that have said something, like musicians, influencers, athletes, actors. Like, it's just crazy. Like, it's so many people just worldwide that like just had like reverence and respect for this man for like just like what he did. Like, and you know what's even crazier about Toriyama is just like Dragon Ball is such a legendary thing that's like so synonymous with him. Like, if you take that away, he still contributed dope ass shit, bro.
Right.
Take Dragon Ball off of it, which is obviously his magnum opus, but like just like his contribution to manga culture and everything, without that, my man's like his fingerprints are everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. The Godfather. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. It's wild. It's wild to think that he was like only 68. Cause it's like, right. I feel like when I was a kid, like, I felt like he was old then. Like, I felt like he was.
I know. I just
then.
Like, I just thought he was always old.
Yeah.
It's because he's sensei status or senpai status. You know what I mean? Like, he's always been that kind of like godfatherly like influence that we look up to. So we always, I think, kind of envisioned him as just old.
Yeah, but it's nuts because it's like I feel like I probably started watching Dragon Ball Z maybe like 7 or 8. Like when I was around 7 or 8, so like 97, 98, when he used to come on Fox in the mornings. So, you know, that was 20 something years ago. So he would have had to have
that
been
was
like
peak Rock the Dragon.
Yeah,
hours.
Right. Yeah, facts. like if he was 68, then he would have been like, yeah, like late 30s, early 40s. So it's like, we're close ish. Not there yet, guys. Like, we're not there yet. We got time. but we're like approaching like where he was at when we were kids falling in love with this. And it's like, when I put it in that perspective, like, oh, he was super young. But it's like, again, it's kind of like the Morgan Freeman thing. I just feel like he was just like, you know, my grandfather, who wasn't my grandfather, you know, back, like even back then when he was a 40-year-old man.
It's crazy to think that we're all at this point, like in our 30s, talking about Toriyama, and we got into Dragon Ball when he was at this age.
Yeah.
At his, like, in his prime, you know?
Yes.
And you see it too with a lot of the people that are coming out and talking about Toriyama that are from our generation. Like, his impact is, it hit everybody. I mean, to your point, Matt, my mom knows I watch a ton of anime, and there was a period of time where she just referred to all anime as Goku. She would just say, oh, what are you watching that show with Goku again? And it's clearly not Dragon Ball Z, but she would always just say, there you go with the Gokus again. I'm like, oh, okay.
The Goku. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. The breadth of, I think, what Toriyama has, or the impact that Toriyama really has had. Sorry to interject, Matt, but you know, like as you were saying before, sports people, you know, people from all kind of walks of life have come out of the woodwork. And like, I opened up my DMs the other day, and you know, 10 minutes after we heard about it, kind of thing, the sheer amount of messages that I got, and I read, you know, a lot of them. There were so many though, and they were big, long messages, people just saying, I wouldn't be who I am without him. You know, I got into bodybuilding because of him. I got into this because of him. I started drawing because of him. You know, all of these things that happened because he took steps that, you know, no one really took back then. Because he paved the way, I think. I think that he was a pioneer to a degree. I know that that's probably a little, maybe might sound a bit extreme, but that's how I see him.
Nah, I don't think that's extreme at all.
Yeah, I think that, especially for like back then, because we've got to think about it, you know, it was in the 80s and kind of like 90s where he was putting in the work that a lot of mangakas do now. And they have all also come out of, well, not necessarily come out of the woodwork, but, you know, they're just making a lot more noise about it at the moment, that they wouldn't have even had started drawing, wouldn't have even started making manga if it weren't for him. So I just really appreciate the breadth and the amount of humans that have been impacted. And I'm not just talking about our generation as well. I saw 16, 17-year-olds in my DMs as well, and in my Discord and all that kind of thing. And they're talking about it like, I only just discovered Dragon Ball, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, but it changed my life.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, that to me says that it wasn't just exclusive to, you know, people like us, people who watched it in the beginning. You know, kids these days are also going to watch that. They're going to see the sheer determination that it took for Goku to become Super Saiyan and Gohan to become Super Saiyan. Mm-hmm. And they'll take that through life like, you know, many of us have. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that it will, quote unquote, keep it alive.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's dying, poor choice of words, but not that it's going anywhere. But you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like it will revolve through a new generation as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1,000%. And you actually touched on something
it's
that
still,
I
it's
was
really
about
cool
to say.
Oh,
dude. Oh, do we? Did the thing happen?
Oh, no, go ahead. I think there was a little delay.
No, I think it was a bit of that. I was just saying, Bex actually touched on something that I was getting ready to talk about, just in terms of, you know, like, the longevity and everything. Like, the last episode of Dragon Ball Z, like, in its original run, like, was in, like, 96, like, over there in Japan. And then it's just crazy. Like, yo, that's like... like, he was done. Like, he was done with Dragon Ball Z, stopped touching it in 96. And it's just, like, for it to, like, show up, like over here in America, like, in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, like, it was, like, the newest shit ever. Like, they was looking at us like, this is old to us. Like, but we was like, yo, this,
that's
is
old shit
greatest,
that.
This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, it's just like, and it was just like, we didn't even know. Like, I didn't find out until, like, well in my adult years that we caught Dragon Ball Z so late. Like, I thought it felt, because, yo, it felt so big as a kid. It's yeah. No, like, and you know, you don't understand subbed and dubbed and, you know, translating over to the Western market and stuff. You don't get that as a kid, but it's just like, I feel like now, obviously social media and exposure is different, but I feel like now when you don't get to live something like as it happened, like you feel it. Like when you watch it like later, like, you know, if you're like me, you have a million things on your watch list and you don't watch stuff until way after the moment, mm-hmm. you do feel a bit left out that you didn't like get to enjoy it when like if you watch like One Piece, like the One Piece Netflix series or Avatar. I haven't watched the Avatar live action yet, but it's on my list of things to do.
You know. Game of Thrones.
Yeah, traveled late
I
to the
finally,
Game of Thrones.
I finally, yeah.
Yeah. I finally but, did. You know, y'all got to, but like, as awesome as it was, like, there's probably like a moment where, like, damn, this probably would have been crazy to see in real time. Like,
for sure.
You know, like, waiting
for
week
sure.
to week. So it's like, but with Dragon Ball, us literally getting it almost 10 years after it was done, Aaron, it didn't feel like leftovers to me. Like,
I know.
It felt like such a, like a global thing. Like, it was like, oh, this has to be current. Like, this is so
awesome. I really wish we were doing the podcast when Super was airing, because I remember just every Sunday morning getting on Crunchyroll. Yeah. And if we had this podcast going when the Ultra Instinct episode happened, because it was an hour special. I'm like, oh, that was that's why, that's another reason why I want the Super Anime to come back as well, so we can all watch it together real time. Like,
yeah,
I would be texting Reagan after on Sunday, like, yo, let me know when you watch the new Super, or let me know when you watched it, and just being able to talk about it, even though you know, we're not watching it live, but we would get up early and be like, oh, let's fire up Crunchyroll and watch the new Super. And you know, that's one of the big reasons why, you know, I can't wait for it to come back. I mean, well, we're gonna be doing that with Daima.
Hell,
but
yeah,
like, it's sure. That there's an element of FOMO when you watch something late.
yeah for sure.
Do you guys have, and it can be it could be as simple as an episode, a scene, it doesn't even have to be Dragon Ball related. Do you guys have like a favorite Toriyama moment or a memory that like sits with you? Like, it's just kind of in there in the bank.
It would be difficult to come up with one that isn't Dragon Ball in my head.
Oh, I'm fine with it being Dragon Ball. Mine is Dragon Ball, but I didn't want to box him in if you just had like a Toriyama memory that had nothing to do with Dragon Ball. But yeah, if you have a Dragon Ball one, I'm here for it.
I think Trav, you go first. Sound like you got one, man.
One of my favorite like aspects of, or just what's the word am I looking for? We'll just say traits of Toriyama is the Tori bot.
I love the Tori bot.
Yeah.
Especially when he wouldn't show up to places but would speak at places, but like he'd have the Tori bot instead of himself. And I loved how he kept that element of mystery to himself, where to Matt's point, it helped in the whole aura of him kind of being like he was Beerus. He's Beerus, you know, he's this entity that we know exists, but we don't see often, and when we do, we know it's a super special and super important moment. And so I love the Tori bot. The Tori bot is one of my favorite aspects, especially
in the Gohan tracksuit as well.
Yes.
the Russian that. Mafia jumper.
Right.
No, I
need to get a Tori bot crew neck or something.
I'm about
to,
man.
Yeah, we should get like matching t-shirts.
Yeah, we should. We should.
I was looking at getting the Tori bot as like a tattoo. It's heavily, heavily considering it.
That's cool. I am also not against this one little bit. Like, at all. A little tribute would be cool, like that.
Bex, I have one if you want to still think about yours, if you're ready to go, fire away.
I mean, I think, like, I didn't actually think like that, to be honest, like the Tori bot type of thing. And thinking about it like that, I like an aspect of Toriyama that he just wasn't on social media. He communicated via email, apparently. And he was just really, like, that's probably why we think he was like a, you know, quote unquote, like old guy. Right. Because he just wasn't here. We just didn't see him.
Whole time he's a young guy, just, you know, ripping shots. Like, yeah, I got you.
But I think that's just super, not cool. Not that he meant to do it or anything like that. But it's just a fun thing, I think. And he wouldn't have seen the impact he had. He would have just heard about it. People just would have told him. And I imagine him as like quite humble if people told him like, oh yes, that's nice, you know, I carry on.
Right. Oh, that's cool. I'm glad they're liking my work. Like, I could see him said.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But if I go into actual Dragon Ball and like my favorite part of that, I think his best creation of all time was definitely Majin Vegeta. I just I have to honestly salute him so hard for doing that. The whole thing is obviously a masterpiece, but Majin Vegeta, boy, you cooked good on that.
You knew what you were doing.
You put your foot in that one. You put your hands and feet.
Yeah, you poured all the good things in when you were making him. So yeah.
We've talked about it on a previous podcast, but the Falconer score at the end of Majin Vegeta episode when he's about to blow himself up, and like he like looks over and you see the fire, and like it like then transitions into
the still image.
Ooh, I get chills thinking about that.
With like the dust flakes so good, man.
My emotions.
Okay. And then the guy's like, his name was Vegeta. What do you mean was? Who's got the Dragon Balls?
Oh, that was you knew that scene was powerful because look, in Dragon Ball with the Dragon Balls, you know, people we knew there was no way Vegeta's gonna
stay
dead, but at the same time you felt like he was about to die, like that was it for him. We're never gonna see him again, and that was his final atonement, as the episode was called. Which, real quick, do you guys know where we can watch
Dragon Ball Z with the Falconer score, because it's only available, like at least on the streaming service, it's the original Japanese score, which is still good, but you know, obviously nostalgic purposes.
Funimation lost the rights to the Falconer score.
Really?
Yeah. They stopped paying for it. So they was just like, well, I guess it's gotta go.
That's why I'm like, oh, you have to download it.
No, yeah, you got it. You definitely got to. You're right. We want sponsorship. You're limited to like YouTube clips of scenes that you want to watch.
Very well, unfortunate.
Gotta dig in my library bag.
You got to dust out a VCR. Go find the tapes.
I know.
I'm sure they're out there. Sure you can Amazon them. There you go.
You can buy them. You can actually buy the Blu-ray. You can. I think it's the literal blue cases.
Like the actual Blu-ray cases. I remember those.
Yeah, because once those are printed, they obviously can't change them like they can on streaming services. So they are still available for purchase. But don't quote me on the blue cases. I've just heard from a few people that those are the ones that have the Funimation dub.
Yeah. Now, I believe you are accurate, because I used to get the VHS tapes and then they switched to like Blu-ray. But, you know, the tapes had like the pictures on the side that would make like a real cool match collage. Up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then the DVDs didn't. So I was like, I'm not getting the DVDs. Like, I don't get a picture. But yeah, the DVDs and the Blu-rays were like a direct just transitioned version of the VHS tape. So it should still have the Falconer score. But yes, business is what took that from us, Trav. That's what happened.
I asked my friend because I had no idea what had happened, because I went to watch it on Crunchyroll or Funimation. I was like, what the fuck is this? And he goes verbatim, Bruce took his balls and ran. And I was like, no, yep. Bruce.
Yep.
No. Like, picked up his Dragon Balls and was like, I'm out.
Yeah, he called they bluff. He's like, oh, you think this will be just as good without my music? Okay.
Try it. Now we're all out here complaining literally right. Years later. Come on, Funimation, just give the man the money.
Yeah, because like it's crazy because, you know, between so many different dubbed and updated versions of Dragon Ball Z, like what's on Crunchyroll is like the Funimation dubbed voices, which I love, but the music, it's just not the same. Like,
it ain't it, fam.
Like the original Japanese audio like works with the subbed version. Like it just kind of just fits. But like having the Japanese soundtrack with like the American voices or the English voices, it's like, it feels weird. Like, because you know what it is? You remember the songs that are playing in these scenes. Like, this isn't the song that plays here.
This is not what lives rent free in my brain already. Right, change it.
Right. Yeah. This is not the Namek is about to explode music. Like, what are you talking about?
There's no tension in this. It's just trumpets and a lot of violins.
A lot of flutes and breezes. Why is there so much wind? There's a lot of silence and wind going on in these fights.
are they called the Dragon Boxes?
It might be. That's a cool name if that's what it was. Low hanging fruit.
Yeah, that would be a cool name actually.
That's what I'm trying to find, because I need that.
Call it
anyway. Matt, what's your Toriyama?
So I thought you guys were gonna pick like a moment from Dragon Ball, and I was gonna go with that. But I guess we could do that in the next round. Honestly, you know what's funny? My favorite thing about Toriyama, for real, is probably the thing that we complain about as a trio the most, is that sometimes it just feels like he just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, my man was unapologetically so true to himself, and, like, I loved it. Like, nah, I'm going to keep bringing back Frieza, and you're going to like it. Like,
yeah.
Vegeta going to keep taking these L's, and you're going to like it. And it was just like, no matter how much outrage and like fan backlash, he's just like so unbothered. Like, nope, this is my story. Trust the process.
Right.
He's one foot in front of the other. That's it. Yeah. He's just like, no, I'm not planning shit. I'm just going to do this. And
yeah,
do
man.
And y'all can just deal.
Even the honesty in interviews about character, like him forgetting about launch, like, oh shit, I just forgot she was a character. My fault.
He doesn't sugarcoat anything.
Yeah, man. That. Yeah, and that was probably like my favorite thing about him. But I guess we can all just give like our favorite Dragon Ball moments. This is a Dragon Ball podcast. I would probably say my favorite moment isn't actually technically in the show, but it was about the show. So I remember there was like a weird phase between like preteen and teen when Dragon Ball, back, I'm sure it was probably different for you because you had like different TV stations, but there was like a weird phase, Travis, I don't know if you remember, where like Dragon Ball wasn't on Cartoon Network yet, but it was like off of Fox, and it just kind of like bounced around different places. Like it just was like kind of pointing different locations, and it's like you kind of like had to, you know, all you had was like the slow ass scrolling TV guide, and you might be like, oh shit, Dragon Ball's on tomorrow, great. But like you didn't know it was coming on TV when it was coming on.
Like, well, that's funny you say that, because I was like saying to myself, I feel there was at one point it was on Nickelodeon, but it didn't sound right to me. But it did bounce around.
No, I think it was.
Yeah, it bounced around. So, but and I remember, because again, not understanding dub versus sub, there was a point where it would like get, it would always get to like when you don't know if Goku escaped Namek or not, and then it would like go back to Raditz, and then it would like you never got to see what was after. And I remember after like the third time of watching Namek about to blow up for 3 minutes, but really for 86 episodes, I was just like, dang, there's nothing else. Like I can't watch Dragon Ball no more because it's like there ain't no more episodes.
Right.
So I remember going to one of my friend's house like after school one day, and he was a big Dragon Ball fan as well. And he just starts talking about Vegeta being Super Saiyan. And I'm like, oh, fan fiction. I'm like, yeah, Vegeta. I was like, that would be great. I would love, because, you know, Vegeta's my guy. So I was like, I would love Vegeta. And then he was just like, nah, Vegeta goes Super Saiyan. And I'm like, no, he didn't. Vegeta never gets Super Saiyan, bro. He thought he had. And like, we're arguing. And he like hits me with the Trump card. He has the episode. Like he has the VHS, the VHS tape of, you know, there used to be like four episodes per tape. And it was basically when they first go to try to find the androids, and Yamcha gets ran through, when Goku gets beat up by 19, and then when Vegeta turns Super Saiyan. Like he had that tape and the fight with 18, like he had two tapes, but nothing else. So I was like, I didn't have none of what happens in from Namek to there. It was just this randomly placed tape because it had like Super Saiyan Vegeta on like the cover, and I guess that's obviously I would have bought that too. Like, oh shit, like,
right.
So we just had this randomly placed four episodes of Dragon Ball. Gohan's a bit taller. Like, you know, Goku can now go Super Saiyan at will. His belt doesn't have the strings anymore. I'm so confused. But boy, when I tell you, the greatest intro of any character, in my opinion, of any anime is Vegeta's re-intro when he kicks the shit out of 19 and tells his whole story about turning Super Saiyan.
You can hear the pain in his voice when he was telling that.
That episode, like, man, still gives me chills to this day as a grown ass man with children. Like, I still feel like a kid on the edge of my seat, just like, what? This is the greatest thing I ever saw. And yo, I just remember him playing that episode, and because it was his tape. He's just sitting there with this smug look on his face while my jaws is to the ground. I'm like, what are these episodes? Like, I thought Dragon Ball Z was done. Like,
because then, we just went through the Namek saga
eight times, and
Vegeta is on his deathbed, like pleading to the guy that he's been losing to, and like the amount of pride that he has to suck up in that moment to tell him. You're the one who's gonna avenge our people. To saying that to somebody who has no ties to his people, but that was that moment where you're like, damn, like,
yeah,
like, yeah. Really, oh my god, he
really
has
fuck
dead.
With Vegeta. And then when he comes back finally with that form, you said,
with the
let's
new
go.
Fit, bro, his new Woo! Fit. Oh my god, bro, the sleeveless armor. I mean, the shoulder padless armor, dog. Like. And had like the gold tip boots. I was like, okay, sir.
You're dressing up for us, mate. Hey. We love that.
Yo, like
Vegeta said, "New Year, new me."
Yeah,
let's
facts.
Go.
Like, and
new
it was
life,
great.
New me.
Like that moment was like the catalyst. Like to me, like every time I got allowance, I would run to Suncoast Video because I had to like figure out the order of these episodes. I was just like, all right, so wait, this character isn't here. He's not wearing a hat anymore, so this must have been after this. Like, it was like putting the pieces together. But man, like, I just remember like watching Vegeta turn Super Saiyan like in real time, and I was like, this is the greatest thing. Because I remember Goku turning Super Saiyan, and it was like, whoa, this is crazy. But you don't really know what it is, so it's just like, you're just like kind of in awe. But like when Vegeta started doing it and it like it wasn't going on at first, I was like, wait, he can't do it. But then he did it. I was like, he can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, it was so good.
Yeah, I can't imagine having it like not knowing the order of things, because I was watching them on DVD because I think and hats off to the dude that I was dating back then, because he was in charge of all of this and he was the one that was like, we're going to the video store and we're hiring the new DVDs the day they come in, because they would just
order them. They had drop dates. Yeah, I remember.
I think that we would watch it before it was anywhere near airing on TV, because the TV over here back then, we had, you guys, three channels. Channel 1, 2, and 3. That's it. We didn't have access to Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, all these things until later. And we had something called Sky, which was cable TV, and you pay for that.
Okay.
But that wasn't until much after the end of Dragon Ball. Anywho, so we would get these DVDs and we would watch them, like I say, before I guess anyone else around us had even seen it. So we were watching it, you know, episode after episode, and we knew the order of everything that was happening, and the hype though was so fucking wild and so real, and we could experience it, you know, a certain amount of episodes at a time, but consistently. And we did start doing that after, because I think that they stopped showing just Dragon Ball in general after like the Namek saga, after what you were mentioning, how, because they just obviously didn't have any more material and maybe didn't want to pay for the new stuff. I don't know. But they weren't airing it anyway. So that's the point where we started getting the DVDs. And
so they weren't airing that shit.
Yeah, they did. They weren't built like us.
They said, man, this from 96. What you mean?
They weren't serious.
Come on.
That's cool. We don't fuck with them anymore. but I mean, just going back to the favorite part, I think it's no surprise that my favorite part was, I guess, the somewhat introduction of Majin Vegeta. And I think specifically when I saw Majin Vegeta blow up the stadium. I don't know what this is about me as a person, that being like my favorite part of
Dragon Ball Z. You like seeing innocent people getting killed?
I think it was like this, because I liked Vegeta from the minute I saw him. I thought he was great. I knew he'd have
so that man could do no wrong.
Yeah, he's put, what murder? Like, he's
murder.
What murder are you talking
let's
about?
Let's hear him out.
Let's just hear Vegeta's side first.
What murder? He's a nice guy.
It's like Sephiroth. Like, I'm sure he's got a real reason for doing all of this.
No man with hair like that can be evil.
No man with a cool voice like that can do any wrong. Come on, let's just wait a little while. But then, yeah, I think. Even I was shocked when he let Babidi take him over and so on and so on. And so when he did that, when he blew up the stadium, I was like, fuck. Whoa. Bro, I knew you had that dog in you, but like
that dog.
I thought you were a changed man. I thought you were starting to turn a leaf. Like,
what? And Bulma right next to the explosion as well. Like, man. And he would have known she was there.
I like to think that was intentional. He's like, nah, I'm not gonna hit her. I know where she's at.
I wanted to see it though. I wanted to see it.
I need him to know I'm bad. I'm not crazy, but I'm bad.
Yeah, I think that was just maybe it was that impactful for me that it's the biggest highlight for me. And then obviously wanting to fight Goku right afterwards, and then that's my favorite fight, and so on and so on. So it's probably a plethora of things that, you know, encompasses that particular moment. And that's why I like it so much. But yeah, no, a 10 out of 10. Again, hats off, Toriyama. Well done. Thank you.
I feel like we know Trav's favorite moment.
He said, is this yours? I said, yes.
Hey, Frieza.
I said, yo, I don't know, Bull, but I fuck with him. Like, what? Like, who is this guy?
Hey, Frieza.
Like, bro, antagonizing. I was like, oh, yeah, that's Vegeta's son right there, bro.
And then when you found out he's Vegeta's son, you said, oh, all right, that's me. Like,
I hate how he mellowed out though. After you find out he's Vegeta's son, that's when he stopped talking shit. I was like, wait, keep talking shit, bro.
he actually really became a little bit of a pussy afterwards.
Yeah, I'm like a nice guy.
It's like, yo, you come from the rough parts of the Dragon Ball world. Like, you see some word. Shit, my guy.
My mama, you from the hood, brother? This the suburbs. Like, come on.
Yeah, because he came in talking all that shit, and then look. What was so funny too to me was King Cole being like, oh, this is why you defeat him, because of the sword, let me have it. Yo, my man, like, I you know sure? you got another form. What?
Two other ones. What,
it's the sword ones. That you like, oh, all right, let's, like, that I was like, okay, but you know, hey, he still whooped their ass. But that would have been dope to see King Cole transform and Trunks being like, you still ain't nothing. Like,
no, that's cool. That would have been
like, if you think it's the sword, I'll put it away and we can just knuckle up. Like,
yeah, like, I'll take the whole thing off and put it on the
right. Like, Goku's not gonna be here for another 2 hours, so I can make this shit stretch out. Like, I can make this last.
We could just go me, you, and my nonsensical half jacket.
I don't know if I'm cold or I'm hot, but look. I don't know if I want to pop my collar or keep it down. I'm not sure. But, you know, resources are limited in the future, so don't.
Where
don't judge
that. Look, he said, bro, he said the whole world ran out of yarn, bro. Like, we ran out of yarn. Like, I couldn't go past this point. we ran out of sewing materials. That's all I could do. Oh, man. What a guy. Shout out to Future Trunks. Bring him back. Just bring him back.
Just bring him back. God said, just fucking bring him back.
He's a mensch. Just bring him back.
Justice for Trunks. Justice for Trunks.
Hashtag justice for Trunks.
I was trying to think of other moments, but I feel like we've talked about all the other moments because of just because
of this Dragon Ball
podcast. But I mean, that the whole Majin Vegeta just arc. We're going to call it that. I know it's not an arc, but we're just going to call the whole Majin Vegeta arc is just, it just felt like your heart was just being pulled back and forth, because you know, that one meme was like, time to go back to the old me. You were worried that was about to happen with Vegeta. You're like, no, you came so far and you're going to let this little ball sack control your mind so you can get more power. And now you're going to do this, but then he shoots to half the stadium. Like, no, what are you doing? Like, yo, dog, I'm trying to ride for you. What's going on?
Bobby's head does look like a boss.
Yo, he really does look like when you get out of a pool and your balls are shriveling. That's Bobby.
That's facts.
Bobbity balls. Bibbity bobbity balls.
Bibbity,
okay.
Bobbity balls. Name of this episode. Bibbity bobbity balls.
That is actually just so funny because it's
oh
so.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't really know that much, but it's fucking true.
That's why when Majin Buu killed him, I was like, Get this man out of here.
And then Bibbity looked so like good. Darkwing Duck. Like, why you got the
fucking head? The whole family was ugly.
Why the top half of your head dark, bro? Like, I'm so confused.
Like, we gotta see him again make a cameo in Daima. Like, yo, let's get, bro, leave, get out of here. Leave Bobbity in the trash. Like, I don't need to see him no more.
Steaming little ball sack.
Oh, man. That, and his voice, too. It was like... It's like, yo.
It was fucking and it's somewhat triggering. Oh, God. Oh. Shut up, Bobbity. No one's going to do what you say, Bobbity. Not even Majin Buu's going to do it for long. And we all know it. So just get shanked. Get shanked.
Yeah.
That was
get shanked.
That was definitely one of the coldest deaths ever. He just punched his head off. He said, yeah. Yeah. And it was a light punch, too. It's like, doop. My man's head just gone, bro.
Like, I don't think there was anybody that was disappointed that Bobbity was offed. We were like, yo, get him off our screen, please.
Nah, I will say that's a super slept on, like, underrated, like, we were waiting for that to happen. Like, because, you know, Boo teased it so many times with like the looks and the side eyes, and he would get angry and Bob like, whoa, bro, my bad. And then Boo would like smile and he's like, all right, cool, gotcha.
Yeah, yo, like that one time that Boo opened his eyes when he was angry at him and just gave him that side eye, like, oh, fuck.
Either what you just say to me? Yeah, he was like, please? Like, please?
It was in that moment Boo was like, yo, who the fuck is Mans? Who, the fuck is Mans? Like, why is he talking to me like this?
He said,
like,
Deborah, get your Mans, bro.
Boo's like, I know I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but who is this guy? Why is he in my fucking ear? Like, get him out of here.
And then thanks to Goku, he's like, you know, you don't have to listen to him, right? And Boo's like, oh, really?
Yeah, you
know. He's like, shut the fuck up.
But Boo was just like, you know what? I had started thinking that, but then he tricked me. He tricked me and made me go against my better judgment.
But yeah, that you say that.
He said, now that I hear someone else say it,
I'm not crazy.
He said, I thought it was me.
Like, he was like on his back and shit. He's probably like, yo, fuck off me, man.
Well, that's why Boo always kept the gloves on. He's like, bro, I don't be touching people like you, bro. Get out of here, bro. Had the hand sandy ready. He's like, yeah, get off me, dog.
Yeah,
but like that moment. Boo didn't even want to turn his ass to chocolate. He said, nah, you're not even delectable, my guy.
Yeah, you go and get gone, and that's it.
Yeah, we good over here.
Yeah.
But even just like that, like, I feel like that death was even different. Like, just how like they gave it to us, like, from Babidi's point of view. Like, you seen, like, and it was his little legs was kicking. Like, when Boo was, like, holding him by his neck, you see his little legs kicking.
just fluttering in the wind.
Yeah, and he just, like, punched his head off. It was just great.
We said, thank you. Moment. Thank so, you. Thank
Toriyama you. Gave us that, bro. He gave us that moment.
One of Toriyama's best gift to us was Babidi's death. Thank you.
1,000%. Yo, Babidi, like, he's like an underappreciated, like, comedic genius. Like, like, every scene he was in, it was just funny to me. Yo, like, just cracking up. Like, like the part where he tried to, like, make Vegeta do some shit, and he was like, nah, and he was just like, can he do that?
Yo,
he was like,
he's like, wait, hey, he can do that.
Like, I didn't know you could do that.
he's like, you did the spell, bro. Why are you asking me?
Right.
I ain't never seen this before, but now it's like, Boo's like, fuck. I didn't know I could actually think for myself after you took over my brain. So, I'll just be back in 5 minutes. I'm just going for some milk.
Look, bro, we missed it. Majin Vegeta was the inspiration for Boo to be liberated, bro. Like, we missed it. We missed, because he was like, wait, he got one of them M things and he won't be listening? Interesting.
So I don't need to.
He's coming to add up Majin Buu's powers of deduction. Super powerful at this point after Goku's like, you don't need to listen to him. Oh my god, it makes fucking sense now.
Yo, Bobby Bobby's that dude where, like, let's say two guys are arguing and there's this one person keep chiming in. He's the one dude where even the friend is like, yo, shut the fuck up, we're talking. Like he is like, he's that one friend where you're just like, yo, I don't need your help in this. You're actually making things worse.
Nah, he's the cat that's so annoying, like the two people that about to fight, like, now they turn their anger towards that person. It's like, oh, like, who is you talking to? like what you got? And now the bull, like, oh shit. Like,
you always got something to say, man. Like, I told you before we got here, don't say a word.
I told you, let me do the fucking talking and then look.
Look, then the people about to fight peace, they're like, you know what, bro? I ain't even mad at you for I'm mad at him. Yo.
Yo, come on, we out. And then now the two of them just arguing in the car ride home.
But nah, but Bex, you just called it. Yeah, it was Boo's deductive reason. Cause first Deborah tried to turn up on Boo and he's like, oh wait, you can switch sides. And then it's like, nah, that was just one disgruntled employee. I probably can't switch sides. I probably can't switch sides. Then Vegeta show up, wait, you can switch sides.
It's when all the employees get together at happy hour and just start shitting on their boss.
Just unionized and shit.
I might punch his head off later.
So you don't like him either.
Boo was like, wait, first your main mans don't fuck with you, then your new mans don't fuck with you. Maybe I shouldn't fuck with you.
Wait, yeah. You're telling me he skimped out on your bonus this year? Oh, hold on.
He's like, Boo's that could never be me.
Boo's the new employee talking to the jaded coworkers who Facts. Are just ready Facts. To jump ship.
Boo was just like, oh wait, he's not just having a bad day, he's always like this? Like, oh no. Nah, I ain't dealing with that.
Yeah. I'm cool, y'all. You know what? I'm gonna escalate this. We're gonna be all right.
Boo said I'm still on 90 day. My benefits ain't even kicking. I got nothing to lose, bro.
So the insurance card ain't coming to mail yet.
Exactly. He was like, look, man. He said, I'll just go back on unemployment. He said, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't need a job. I can turn people into candy.
He's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fine. Sergio, you're going to be fine.
I can self-sustain for a little bit.
He said, I wanted to be a baker anyway. Like, fuck this job. He said, you think I'm wearing these oven mitts for nothing? Yeah, what if Boo was like in his egg actually like baking and that's why he has the gloves and then like they interrupted him. That's why he's so cranky. He's like, yo, like I was cooking, bro. Like I had a tiramisu. Like, I had a souffle in there.
Crazy easy bake going. Crazy.
He said, I had a souffle, and y'all opened up my egg, made it sink. Like, it dropped. Like, now I'm pissed. Yo. My souffle fell. Thanks. Like, that's why Gohan got his ass whooped. He made Boo's souffle fall. He was like, oh, it's you, bud.
Like, I mean, we saw it. Don't get between Boo and his food, but Beerus was like, yo, you ain't me, though.
Right. He said, hold my beer. He said, you throw a fit, I blow up planets. Like, come on.
Right. We are not the same. Now give me my damn pudding.
In that scene, though, where Beerus is asking for the pudding and Martian Boo has that whole plate of them, where Martian Boo licks all of them, and he's like, they're mine! That's peak, bro.
We need more Boo and Beerus scenes. And, like, I mean,
we do.
Remember our Daima trailer breakdown? We were trying to, like, break down the shoes. It seemed like that might have been them hanging out together again.
Yeah.
And then Boo fell asleep for the tournament. So, like, Boo's just on Beerus' shitless. Like, I love the little beef they got.
Yeah, it's like I would love like a one-off, like a one-pager of just like a Boo, Majin Boo, like buddy adventure. Like, just let them
I was literally just about to say, we need a Boo and Beerus buddy cop.
Yeah, we just let them like do like a little.
Gotta be food related.
Yeah. 1000%, yo. Like 1000%. Like, there's no more flour in the galaxy or some shit. They got trying to bake a cake. She's like, oh, I need this special ingredient. That's only in Universe 6.
Like, they just look at each other like, okay, I guess we're gonna do this.
It's like the other guys.
Yo, man, facts.
Just Dragon Ball Super version.
The other gods. That's what they were called.
The other gods.
Guys.
Because I mean, Boo had.
I don't know who we're gonna tell to come get us anymore. That made me sad, real quick.
I know.
Tortaro,
come get us.
Oh, that don't sound right.
I know.
Yoku, come get us.
That don't sound right either.
Toei Animation, come get us. It's too many syllables. Too many syllables.
Yeah, yeah. Too many syllables. Dragon Room, come get us.
Maybe. Right, something. Capsule Court, come get us. Come on, just come get us.
Listen,
yeah,
everybody.
Never been more ready.
Well, man. Well, we don't have. And all in all, if this episode proves nothing, is we have no shortage of amazing memories that Toriyama provided to us, whether they were direct or unintentional or related to. He has left a mega permanent imprint on all of our lives.
Forever.
Is there any final thoughts or we obviously want to send well wishes to his friends and family and just everyone around the world who was affected by his death. We're all in this together, to quote the legendary High School Musical. You know, we all we got. But is there anything that you guys would like to, you know, end on before we send everybody off to enjoy their day or night, depending on where you're at?
Personally, I'm super glad that I got through this whole thing without crying.
Yeah, for real.
It was just massive, and it still is, and I think it always will be. And I would just like to say this one thing that I said to a few people that I know, that when Michael Jackson died, my mum was sad for weeks. When Stan Lee died, my friends were sad for weeks. When the Princess Diana died, my grandmother was sad for weeks. And I never understood any of that until, look, I'm going to cry now.
Yeah.
Until now. I never understood that. I was like, you don't know them. You know, they're so disconnected from you. And I never said anything like this. Obviously, I was just, you know, supportive and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I just never quite grasped it. But now I get it, because it hit that hard for me, and I know for you guys as well. So, yeah. Feeling it.
Crazy.
But grateful.
Look,
it's crazy that a stranger that we can have such an impact where, like, they don't feel like a stranger, you know? And, like, throughout this whole process, for some reason, maybe it's because of what his character has, like, instilled in me forever, but, like, I just think of Masako Nozawa and just how she's dealing with all of this, because, I mean, she is Goku, and she had a close relationship with Toriyama.
Her message is what, like, got me.
Nozawa's messages, yeah, I was me. Like, nah, I can't be in public reading these. And, you know, growing up as a kid, Goku really made you see the best in people and give people second chances, even when they may not deserve it, and just letting them go on their own journey. And, you know, some people may, you know, just be who they are, Frieza, but some people may change for the better and become your Vegeta. So I think, you know, I always, like, one, strive to be the best person that I can be, to go beyond my limits, but to also see that people make mistakes, but they can come back from them. And I feel like Goku's character is an embodied, while he is a dumbass at the end of the day, he's a wholesome dumbass that I, you know, still love. And it's just, like, it's just crazy that a freaking cartoon, a freaking manga, a freaking anime can just have that sort of impact on you. And, like, you know, I'm never going to clown or come at people when their favorite celebrity dies. You know, I used to be like that. I used to be, oh, you don't, like, same like you just said, Bex, you don't know these people. But it's not necessarily just about the person, it's about the legacy they've left. And I just hope that, you know, I can have that impact on somebody when I leave it, even if it's just one person. But it's that feeling that you get of, like, nah, I like, you feel a bigger purpose. And even just recording now with you guys, it just feels like every single time we record now is for something bigger.
I'm not about to try to follow that, so.
It was very well said.
It was very perfectly well said. I will say this, just to be very selfish for 1 second. If there's anything that I would be grateful for from the great Akira Toriyama, it is that it led me to a place where I get to do this with you guys. And it's because of him.
Legit.
It's because of him.
Because of him.
This podcast literally exists because of him. So, you know,
yes, sir,
that moment is not lost on me. And I received a lot of messages when he passed, just when we put up that reel, because, you know, we had recorded that episode before he died. And, you know, we all felt, we agreed that it was important for us to put that out because, you know, we had a lot of fun on that episode. And a lot of people were like commenting like, oh, I needed these laughs. And like, that made me feel really good that, you know, like a product that we're putting out because we were so inspired by, you know, this particular this thing that's just larger than any of us. Like, it put us in a place to help someone who was sad be happy. Like, that's nuts, man. That's crazy. That's crazy. And it's like, you don't think about shit like that when you like we do this because we love to do it. Like, you know, we're passionate about it and we want to shine all the lights on it and take this nerddom into like a different place and, you know, welcome in new people and, you know, take the stick out of the old people who don't want the new people to come in and all that fun stuff. But it's just like, at the end of the day, it is just about like love and fun. And like, he did that. He did that, man. Like, he did that. And he did it well. And he did it for a very, very long time. And this podcast will forever be known as the house that Toriyama built, because it doesn't exist without him. So
the comment house that Toriyama built.
That he built, man. That he built. And we going to operate out of that from this point forward. And the Trio of Danger, we are, you know, we're going to, matter of fact, before I say that, tell somebody that you love them today, like right now. Hug someone a little bit tighter than you would have hugged them the day before. Like, just make sure you do that. And, you know, even if you said it, do it again. Do it again, and then do it again the next day, and then three times on Sunday. But, like we always say here in the Kame house that Toriyama built, whether you watch it or you read it, we all need it. So open up your nerd eye, and we will see you next time on Dragon Ball Faux Life. Dodon Ray. Shout outs to super producer Mikey and Paul.
Get out. Love you, Mikey.
Nani?
And shout outs to Yali, all caps. Entei and Anchi. Welcome, Anchi.
Woo! We out later.
RP to the goat.
Mortals, listen up. It's your god of destruction, Beerus, here. Subscribe and follow the Dragon Ball for Life podcast, or else you shall be erased from existence. Akai.